You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das.
I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepti Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.
A podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology and how they will transform our lives, work and play as we know it.
Welcome to Tech Cetera. This is your favorite tech podcast where every week we come and find a new topic to discuss as always. However, there are multiple common themes that we have persisted with in the past few episodes if you've stuck on with us. And in fact, in our last episode, Leslie, Deepti and I had a pretty interesting discussion about AI and the future of AI. And not just that, in terms of what NVIDIA's latest announcements meant. For the world of AI. Now, in between all of that, if you would have heard our previous episode, you would have known that I was in San Jose at NVIDIA's GTC 2024 press conference, where the company spoke about their latest AI chips, about what their strategy for AI was in future. And we also saw what is now presently referred to as embodied AI. Put very simply, watered down, embodied AI you can consider to be a form of AI which lives outside of just the digital realm, not just within the space of your apps and your ChatGPT and so on, but also within the bodies of robots. Think of something like Prometheus and all the cool robots that have existed in science fiction history. So I'm going to throw this floor or this Zoom screen open for discussions and debates between Leslie, Deepti, and we are also joined today by our co-producer, Shruti Pal. So whoever of you would want to take on this first, Leslie, of course, knows a fair bit about embodied AI. Deepti knows only about Rabbit Assistants. And so maybe we should start with Shruti. Shruti, what do you think of embodied AI? Rather, do you even think of embodied AI?
Hi, everyone. Thank you for calling me on the show again. And before we start the topic of embodied AI, Leslie, I have a question. Actually, it's more of a request. I've tried my level best to understand the concept, but I found it challenging to understand because of the complexity in the way it's being presented across the internet. So could you explain in the simplest language model ki exactly what it is? I'm good with English, but can you explain in thoda sa Hindi, thoda English mix? Kyunki wo jo set hone wali language hai, it's in Hindi. So I want to learn ki exactly what is it.
So I think the simplest way to understand this is embody. What does embody means? To put in a body. If you sort of understand what embody or put in a body means, mm-hmm. everything else falls in place. Simple? So
okay.
What? Yeah. So in this particular case, if I were to take AI, now AI is a concept. What is AI? Defined very simply, it is a collection of technologies. So essentially, it is a concept where it is the desire of humans to make machines as smart as them or smarter. That's a very, very simple definition. How do you do that? You use AI tools. Now, which are the AI tools that we have been using? Traditionally, machine learning, deep learning networks, which is, so deep learning is a machine learning technique. Then you have image recognition, you have computer vision, you have many other things. And now, of course, generative AI. Are we clear up till now? Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay. So basically, I just want to add on, jitna mujhe abhi tak samajh mein aaya, you mean to say embody AI is more like a robot, right? If I'm
you
not
can
wrong.
Understand it as a
yes.
robot. You can understand it as, giving it some kind of a form, a physical form, if I were to put it very simply.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now sort of
clear?
Personification. How, if in a metaphor, how do we do it? We use personification. Do we say, okay, fine. How do you you have to make things a little simple, because AI is a very abstract concept.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody wants to understand, they understand Sophia the robot, okay, which became the first citizen of Saudi Arabia. Do they want to understand that? So they say, okay, now if people have watched The Terminator. People have watched Rajnikanth as a robot. They understand that. Okay, so is that, would that be an embodied AI? Yeah, you can call it embodied AI. Would it be embodied generative AI? You add ChatGPT to that or you add something else to that, it becomes generative. Because when it speaks in a natural language, that is actually generative AI. You know, we confuse generative AI with a lot of other things. But what is generative AI? The base basically is natural language processing or NLP. So you speak like a human, you act like a human. And that's what it is, as simple as that.
I'll give you a very simple example, Shruti. In fact, when I was visiting the NVIDIA folks, they had this entire show floor, which had a bunch of like cool exhibits, so to speak. So there was this one particular robot where they were showcasing the ability of this robot. You had this tab, wahan pe you could write, make me a Manhattan cocktail. It was basically a bartending robot. And it had learned theatrics also. It would do all the swirl with all the bartending, you know, the equipment. And so even on that tab, you could write like, make me a, you know, martini with a twist. And this robot bartender would like go and pick up things and, you know, it would play a background James Bond song and go into all of that.
Wow.
So that in a way is embodied AI. There were, you know, arms playing chess with each other. Robotic arms playing chess based on instructions powered by these large language models. So that in a way is basically, we're speaking about embodied AI, basically giving AI a body which could be quite deadly.
But the interesting part here is if you take the same example and if you want to understand it in a very simple language, understand a robot that can see, that can talk, that can listen, that can act, that can reason. Now see, how does it see? We see with our eyes. There you have sensors. Same thing like LiDARs and all which you use on driver. How does it talk? It uses NLP. It uses, you know, whether you use ChatGPT or anything for that matter, whether it's an LLM-based bot or you want to put anything. When it's listening, how do it listen? Again, audio inputs. Okay.
Audio inputs, agree.
Yeah. And then when it's acting, how does it act? Again, it is acting because it will have motion sensors or it will have something else. You know, those kind of things. And the reasoning, of course, again, it will have either, LLM running it. In this particular case, what Shaurvik was referring to, the platform is known as Project Groot. That is the Groot platform. Groot is this Vin Diesel wala, I am Groot. it is exactly that, Groot part of it.
But the O's are replaced by zeros.
Yeah, and also so that is one part of it. And interesting thing is, I think it is also, if I'm not mistaken, there are some other competitors. Like I think Tesla has a competitor, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember the name. Optimus.
Yes.
And if you go to Transformers.
Optimus Prime.
Yes. That is exactly the interesting part about embodied AI, that all that we have been watching all this while is now gradually coming to life. And therefore, you know, also that fear of whether it is going to become a sentient kind of robot, whether it will kill us, whether it will overpower us and 10,000 other kind of.
I remember my first reference to maybe an embodied AI back then was Jetsons, this cartoon that used to come, and there was this house help, Rosie. She was robotic and she used to reason, she used to be able to manage the household, she used to be able to do all of that. And then the last one I remember, the most recent one, is Chappie. Which is basically, I mean, it's another fun movie, you know. But the ultimate, no, actually, I don't want to give any spoilers. You should go watch it. It's really cool.
The best one that I like, and I'm not too sure whether you all have watched it or not, is The Bicentennial Man.
Of course.
So that's like by far, that is like
beautiful performances. Beautiful.
Yeah, because there in embodied AI, what I find interesting is the physical part of it, the sensors, motions, and he starts with that, keeps on giving it upgrades.
Yes.
Then gives it the physical touch, the molecular kind of touch.
Yes.
And then Eventually, the robot becomes human and starts aging and becomes the oldest living human being on Earth. And of course, is made a citizen at the age of 200 years. So, interesting concept. But yes, we may get there someday. I don't know.
No, it is a very interesting space. In fact, there have been much debates around whether it's even necessary. Some people have spoken. There have been very interesting research papers on how it can actually help in many cases. It can help aid disability cases. It can help automate in various situations where you do need robots to automate, but you would have robots to understand a sense of space and a sense of their surroundings and basically gauge the depth of the space around them. In such cases, there have been multiple research papers and multiple researchers who have spoken about the need for embodied AI. However, there is a very interesting...
Shovik, it's not only in the realm of research papers. For instance, a lot of brain research is being done at this point in time.
Yes.
So, you know, minds are being cryogenically frozen and at some time they will get into robotic exoskeletons. So if you look at it, I mean, that's already going on. I think that's for almost 10, 15 years. So, there's this whole project that is on, and most of the people, the billionaires, have already committed to having their brains stored after their death cryogenically. And then cryogenically, basically for the listeners, those who may or may not know, is minus 270 degrees centigrade or Kelvin?
Zero Kelvin, minus 273 centigrade.
So minus 273. So basically superconductivity at the end of the day. And with that kind of, when it keeps it cool, the brain does not, get damaged.
And they can,
so that is the idea, to preserve it. And then when the technology is sufficiently advanced, whether it is 30 years from now or 300 years from now, it's anybody's guess. But, you know, you can actually get your mind, you can, because the theory here is that you are your memories. So your memories, when you come back, you may be the same person. I don't know why you would like to be the same person. That's from a philosophical point of view.
That's true. One life.
Yeah, because like, see, even 50 years from now, how would my memory serve me? In just one day, ChatGPT, like today I have ChatGPT-4 and tomorrow I have ChatGPT-5. So I would not know in 50 years what would happen. Why would I want my memories and be a backward human being?
There is this excellent series on Netflix called Altered Carbon, which is exactly, you know, it explores this idea of why would anyone want to live that long, and will they be able
it's more about preserving the conscious of the human brain,
exactly,
and trying to see if it transfers across different time periods,
which is what it does.
But then at the same time, if you look at Demolition Man, if you remember the kind of conflicts that you had with Sylvester Stallone, was, you know, got what after from 50 years, resurrected after some 75, 100 years or whatever it be. And then suddenly he's like, you know, sort of resurrected in a different age where he doesn't understand how that society operates. That society doesn't understand how he operates. And, you know, of course, for them, they had to have a fairy tale ending. So it's an issue. But I don't think we'll have these kind of fairy tale endings if we really have. So embodied AI basically would mean so many things to so many people, Shruti. It is not just about, you know, computers. It is just a machine. That's an exoskeleton. There you have intelligence. Gradually you build on those intelligence, get it with, you know, adding molecular computing, brain research. It's a very multidisciplinary thing. So what we are actually talking about embodied AI, if we are really talking about something like Bicentennial Man, we have no idea when it will come or how soon it will come.
Shruti, in fact, the idea of an AI boyfriend for you could be an embodied AI project that somebody can pursue at some point.
That she can have it now also. Because she doesn't want the humankind. I think she made it clear on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she wanted the person.
The free guy kind. The kind that can be.
To be like chill.
Virtual.
So, Shruti, have you thought of a name?
No, I've not gone too far. I'm waiting once Deepthi buy the rabbit. Then I'll think of it.
So rabbit is also a form of embodied AI.
It is.
Because yes. It is a physical thing. It doesn't have a mind, but if you mind, it is, in a sense, it is embodied AI. Because any agent, for that matter of fact, with a kind of a physical form would be embodied AI.
Yeah. Oh. So it doesn't have to be like a body. Like a human body.
No, I think there is, to an extent, you would want your embodied AI to have a certain degree of movement and a certain degree of capability of understanding space, which is what it's generally defined as.
It has to understand things spatially. There has to be some hardware component to it.
But on this note, it's...
We stand corrected.
Something like that social robot, Pepper was there.
Why Sophia, is Sophia is the best example that we have. It's the first citizen of Saudi Arabia. So many things have happened. I mean, I'm talking of real world examples. I'm not talking about sci-fi movies. So we have had, after that, we have built a lot of, intelligent robots in the form of Boston Dynamics as these dogs that can leap all over. Then you have these.
Just talking about that.
Six degrees of movement.
Six degrees. So now just think about this. If you have these snake robots, or you have spider robots that help excavate and remove people from very kind of, those wedges. Say if an earthquake levels the entire building or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for a human being to do something. You have these spider robots, you have snake robots, you have different kinds of robots that can actually go there, help and excavate those bodies, or even save a lot of human beings. Now, if there's some intelligence in that, then it becomes embodied AI, where it can actually detect, where it can probably comfort the person, at that point in time before a human doctor comes and arrives over there. Just think about the endless possibilities that you have. Where it comes and comforts and says, "Aap chinta nahi karo, hum aapke saath hai, doctor aa rahe hain, hum doctor nahi, hum to sirf robot hai." Just imagine the kind of conversation in their own language. If it's Bhojpuri, probably it may speak Bhojpuri. If it's Kannada or Telugu or whatever, because we have Deshi LLMs. So a lot of intelligence can be put into that. So the possibilities are endless. No, but imagine a spider robot and coming to you and saying, "Jadoo ka jhappi chahiye kya?"
That's it.
Now that you may not want.
That's the day we'll stop making this podcast. And we'll have achieved everything in life.
True.
No, but the discussions around embodied AI and robotics in general are very interesting, because there's, of course, a lot of people experimenting on a lot of things. I met a team of Amazon researchers who are trying to test the trust capability of AI through these two robots by making them play chess and making them play a bunch of games to see how much can they doubt each other. And their project seemed pretty interesting, and they were like, this is a very rudimentary take. Eventually, it's not even about robotics. We plan to use this to improve AI and eventually have this work as, probably in a fact-checking environment, probably, in various applications. So, Leslie, you probably speak with more people in this regard than all of us. Have you seen interesting projects that are well-funded enough, which are sort of developing niche areas of applications in embedded AI? And
there are certainly a lot of projects, but at least not in the... So trust AI and responsible AI, explainable AI, these are like buzzwords today. When we are sort of building these guardrails, one of the things that the World Economic Forum talks about, or many other, whether it's the EU Act, whether it's the US Act, even India, there are these kind of broad principles around which ethics has been followed. And those are the things that will obviously be sort of applicable to these platforms. If you remember, for robots, we already had those three principles of robotics that were there. Do not harm, do not. Those are no longer applicable because the robots themselves have become so complex.
Yeah.
So as the complexity is being inbuilt or embodied in AI, in these robots, these guardrails will also continuously keep on changing. That's going to happen with time. Are there broad principles? Yes, the broad principles, like say, for instance, if I'm using AI in a machine, okay, machine gun, for instance, and it's intelligent enough. Are you going to train the machine gun and say, no, if it is across the India border, you can shoot. If it's within the India border, you should not shoot. Now, this is going to be a very tricky area of ethics that we're going to build over a period of time, because your guy would have already entered the, your enemy could have entered the borders.
Right.
Crossed the border and entered into India. So how are you to, you know, so those are like things that I think everybody is grappling with at this point, because it's very highly complex. But having said that, my point, the way I'm seeing all these projects being developed at this point in time, they're taking it a step at a time, which I think is just the right way of doing it. Instead of, you know, trying to give, they will never at no given point in time will we be able to say that we have arrived at our destination? No, we will not be able to say that.
Yeah.
We haven't arrived as human beings. There are so many complicated...
Exactly.
And in fact, this is one of the things which recently the Ministry of Electronics and IT's AI advisory ran into trouble for, because they flagged the entire ChatGPT's results controversy that happened. In that, what the government tried to flag was that, you know, companies have to certify that a sort of a model is under testing or development. Mm. And sort of like, you know, all the companies and the consultants went up to the government and said that, you know, AI models are forever under development and testing. So a section of policymakers were like, you know, they can just simply label their products as under testing forever and use that as a way to hide also from your supposed regulation. So it's never going to work.
Correct.
So I think that's sort of like the nature of... So, of course, that advisory got amended and a lot of things got changed. And now it's turned into government just telling companies, okay, listen, just be careful. Hmm. Just make sure that you inform your users that you should have a disclaimer, which is under the IT rules regulations, that you should have a disclaimer that this product could lead to results. So you have to basically consent that you agree to using such a product.
Right.
Which is something that the EU has been trying to make everybody do for.
And this is exactly what one of the founding fathers called Marvin Minsky said about AGI. This is, I'm just paraphrasing what he said, but this is what he meant. He's saying, I'm not afraid of AGI because it will be as muddled as us. So go, have fun.
Artificial general confusion will also be a field that will crop up.
That's you can start a new, you can coin a new term, Shovik. You wanted to become famous, AGC.
I will soon find, formulate a startup called Closed AI, where I will do these things. I will develop like general confusion.
It won't be politically right, but you can always try it.
I mean, might as well.
It's an idea, Abhito. It's just a thought. We should not. Man.
I'm already closing the idea.
What are you doing, Leslie?
Yeah, Abhito, has you're been shut down.
I'm an open
source guy. You're talking about innovation.
The idea has been shut down in record time. But yes, so I think that's that for this week.
This is you brought up a fly in the ointment at the end of the day.
But anyway, Shovik, go ahead. You were saying something.
Yes, no, I was just going to wrap up for this week, because I think it's been a pretty interesting discussion on robots with bodies.
Mm.
I think we're ending this at a note where we should probably sometime soon discuss about what people feel and what we all feel about the entire multiverse theory, whether we exist in parallel universes or whether that's just fiction. So let's give it a thought for the next 1 week. To all our listeners, if you would want to hear us speak about this, please do write to us. You know, Deepthi would know if anybody writes to us or not, because Deepthi gets all the fan mail and the listener mails and doesn't share any of them with us. So that's how the dynamics of this podcast works for now. But nevertheless,
rabbits.
Well, we don't know.
It's being confidential.
It's now been I think it's now been about 2.5 months since Deepthi has mentioned about her purchase.
Deepthi has left the chat.
Probably to still not buy the Rabbit R1 assistant.
But you know, Shavik, before you conclude, I would like to leave our listeners with a thought that all these kind of developments should not overwhelm us, because we are talking about the amalgamation of mind and machines, which has been happening over a period of time. Mere fact that we, you know, drive our cars, we shift gears, we get into planes. Planes have been running on autopilots for, you know, almost like donkey's years.
And,
you know, we don't feel anything. The similar, same thing will happen even for driverless cars as they become mainstream, driverless trucks, and many other things, whether robots and all. We have to give it time and have faith in the human race that we will come up with sufficient amount of guardrails despite all the chaos that we have. And, you know, the universe, if you look at the universe, it does not like order. It likes chaos.
Yes.
Enjoy chaos a bit.
That's how development works. But I think one of the main issues here is that whenever you see disruption happening in front of you, versus something that happens behind the screens, it always plays on
That's people's also the minds. Beauty of the human race, not that we don't assume two different things, and that's where we can evolve. So it's okay.
Yes.
Now, we should be fine with the chaos.
Yes. So to all our listeners, keep it cool with all the chaos around you for the next 1 week. And see you next week. Thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint Tech Cetera. You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.